My topic for today is the parasitization of sugarcane borer by Clotidia flavipes on rice. In this presentation, we'll talk about the relationship between rice, sugarcane borer, and Clotidia flavipes, a two-year field experiment. Experiment results about the development and survival of sugarcane borer on rice. Experiment results of the parasitization of sugarcane borer by Clotidia flavipes on rice. And a cohort-based age drug model which is used to simulate the population dynamics of both insects. Sugarcane borer is an important Lepidopteran pest of rice in Texas, Louisiana, and Mississippi. First and second instar larvae injure the leaf and leaf sheaths of rice. Here I'm showing two second instar larvae inside leaf sheaths. And the third and later instar larvae, they started boring to the stem and destroy the vascular tissue transportation. This is a big larva. And I have a picture of a pupae, and this is an adult. Clotidia flavipes is an introduced parasite of the sugarcane borer. Females parasitize sugarcane borer second and later instar larvae. And the parasitoid immature develop inside the host larva until right before pupation. And then they pupate and make cocoons near the exhausted larva. And this is a picture of a Clotidia flavipes cocoon mass, and here I'm showing a picture of an adult. The objectives of this research include to estimate the development and survival of sugarcane borer on rice, to estimate the parasitization of sugarcane borer larvae by Clotidia flavipes on rice, and both of these estimates provide key parameters what we're going to use in the simulation model. And then we combine the results of experiment and the model to evaluate the potential of biocontrol of sugarcane borer by using Clotidia flavipes. This two-year field experiment was conducted in Beaumont, Texas, which is one of the rice counties in Texas, during 2005 and 2006. In this field experiment, we released Clotidia flavipes adults into field cages, including rice plants that are artificially infested with sugarcane borers. For the sugarcane borer infestation, we have a split plot design with three factors. First one is the crop growth stage when injury occurs. We have three crop growth stages, the third tiller stage, panicle differentiation stage, and heading stage. And we have three rice cultivars, Cockadry, Francis, and Jefferson. And we have four initial density of sugarcane borer eggs for the artificial infestation. Clotidia flavipes were released into cages 2 weeks after the sugarcane borer infestation. In 2005, we used a release rate of 8 females per meter square, and to increase the parasitization rate in 2006, we used a 40 females per meter square release rate. 3 days after Clotidia flavipes release, cut all the tillers in the infested split plot and return them to lab, check for the injury symptoms, and check for the presence of the sugarcane borer larvae. Each recovered larvae were categorized as either small for second and third instar, medium for fourth instar, and large for fifth and possibly larger instars. And the recovered larvae were read in the lab to see whether they have been parasitized by the Clotidia flavipes. Now let's take a look at the results. The development of sugarcane borer larvae on rice is typically slower than under the lab conditions. It's around 500 degree days for the larval development. And we found relative short development duration were observed when infestation occurred later during the crop growth stage. In 2005, we found a total of about 2,700 sugarcane borer larvae from the field, and in 2006 we found lower survival sugarcane borer field. And in the three crop growth stages, we find the higher survival rates when infestation occurred at the third tiller stage. So that means a high survival rate were observed in early crop growth stage in the study. Parasitization of sugarcane borer. In 2005, we find 79 parasitized sugarcane borer larvae, and in 2006, we find 98. Actually, in 2006, the release rate of Clotidia is 5 times higher than in 2005. However, the parasitization rate only about doubled, and the reason is just because the lower host density in 2006. And for the same reason, we find high parasitization rates in the third tiller stage than the two later stages, because the lower host density in the two later stages were found. So the parasitization rate is affected by both the density of the host and the parasitoid. To estimate the effective search rate, we use the Frazier-Gilbert functional response equation. And here, these two figures actually shows the number of parasitized shrimp borer larvae as a function of the number of shrimp borer larvae, and also it is also affected by the parasitoid density. In 2005, the parasitoid density is 8 female of 8 cotyledon larvae per meter square, and in 2000 it's 40. So actually, the blue dots are the observed value, and then we can see the predict curve fits pretty well with the dots. But the only thing is the parasitization rate is not very encouraging high. The effective surgeon rate is not very encouraging high. It's only 0.0018 meter square ground area per female per day. We also found that cotyledon larvae showed great overposition preference for the shrimp borer larvae in later in stars. This is a table showing the preference. And each parasitized larvae provides approximately 28 parasitoid adults. And the sex ratio of cotyledon larvae is 3.5 female over 1 male. This experiment only evaluates the parasitization of one generation. So to evaluate parasitization for a relative longer period, we developed a cohort-based age structure model to simulate the population dynamics of both insects. This model has two sub-models, the Schuckenbohr sub-model, which simulated the development, mortality and survival, fecundity, and also the winter dipoles of Schuckenbohr population. The development was simulated using a degree-based distributed maturation method, and the mortality factors what we simulated include the temperature, the host plant stage when infestation occurred, and the rainfall. The winter dipoles were induced by the low temperature and short day length during the fall and winter time. And for the cotyledon larvae population, we simulated their development using the same degree-based distributed maturation method. And also we simulate effective fecundity, which refers to the number of parasitoid adults provided by each parasitized larvae. We're not using actual fecundity because we're not dissecting the parasitized larvae for the egg inside it, so we're just using the number of adults provided by the each parasitized larvae. I'm sorry. To link the both of the sub models, we simulate the parasitization using the Frege-Gilbert functional response equation and overposition preference. Both of these two functions were parameterized based on the result we get from the field experiment. So for the simulation, what input we need is the weather information, includes the daily maximum, minimum, and the average temperature, the daily rainfall. These affect the development and survival of the insect. And the host plant information includes the rice cultivar. Currently, this model only works for the three cultivars we've used in this experiment. And the planting date of host plant. And we also need input of the shrimp borer density of overwintering larvae. This density will provide an estimate of the first generation density in the rice field in next spring. And also, of course, the cotyledon release rate and the cotyledon release time of the cotyledon larvae. Here I'm showing an example of the simulation result. In the first figure, we can see without the release of cotyledon, the shrimp borer population just keep on increasing throughout the season. And the second graph we'll see with the same initial density of shrimp borer population, we release cotyledon larvae here with a release rate of 10 females per meter square. And this population, after several generations of cotyledon, the shrimp borer population was going down. The cotyledon larvae still show the potential to control shrimp borer population after several generations. Up to now, we have do the simulation part, and the very next step we're going to do for this study is to combine the results of this experiment to an injury study where we estimated rice yield as affected by, this is the rice yield as affected by the proportion of tillers with injury and the proportion of tillers with stem injury. And these blue areas here actually are where we observed compensation tolerance that the yield is not in fact by, affected by the injury. So combining the results of this one and the parasitoid experiment, we will be able to estimate the economic impact of cotyledon larvae in controlling the shrimp borer. So conclusions, the parasitization of shrimp borer using cotyledon observed in the experiments is low, and the effective surge rate was 0.0018 meters square ground area per female per day. Cotizia fly fish show great ovulation preference for the shrunken borer larvae in later in stars, but even the parasitization rate is low as a gregarious pteridoid with relative short generation time. We still expect to see the control potential of shrunken borer population after several generations. That's all for my presentation. I say thanks to my committee members and all the lab technicians who have helped me in my study, and I'm taking questions. Thank you all. Oh, okay.
When you release them in the field, are you able to get them
unprotected? When I release, what do you mean when I release cotizia? When I release the shrunken borer without cages, actually, in the experiment we are measuring injury, we are not really recovering the shrunken borer because we want yield, but we are measuring the stem injury of rice to estimate the survival of the shrunken borer. And I don't know. I didn't do the experiment of the cotizia release without cages, actually. So my experiment was conducted for a cage experiment.